Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery Black Friday Special. Miller Time Pub inside the Cornhusker Marriott. Hope he had a great Thanksgiving. He's traveling man. Jerry DiNardo, the coach, Big Ten Network. Coach, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thank you.
Well, this time of year has got to make you smile a bit when it comes to rivalry weekend and that push, that buildup for Nebraska-Iowa. I don't want to say it's caught fire, but I think there's some smoke with Nebraska and Iowa becoming true rivals. It felt forced at first, but now it might be settling in. And AD Bill Moose wants to make Black Friday a thing. You have been a part of some big time rivalries, and specifically Nebraska Colorado. What's it like to kind of declare Nebraska a rival? What's that situation like on the other side?
You know, I think it really brings attention to both schools. I mean, you don't declare anybody a rival unless you really respect them or they're really good or it's going to be a fun game. You know, as you mentioned, the Colorado-Nebraska rivalry, Bill McCartney started. I was a little skeptical at first, but, you know, I grew to learn, love it and enjoy it. I'm not sure that was my style to get to a place and all of a sudden say one of the best teams in the country is a rival. And then I was at LSU and they just started the boot. So the first boot that is played for between LSU and Arkansas, I was part of that first boot trophy game. So I've been part of rivals. I think they're fun. I don't think there's any downside, Chris. Interesting enough, a couple years ago, Kirk Ferentz changed his schedule. He went to a morning practice schedule, and he took Thursday as his day off. And one of the reasons he did that, he said, was because of the Nebraska game on Friday. So it fit into his routine. That wasn't why he did it, but that was one of the things he considered when doing it.
Jerry DiNardo is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I think you nailed it when you circle somebody, the respect and the talent level that is on that other sideline. We'll get into some off-field stuff in a second, but as you look at Nebraska and Iowa and this ball game, A, do you have a theory on what happened with Iowa post-Ohio State? B, how do you think Nebraska finishes out this season when it comes to effort, anticipation, and passion against Iowa Friday?
Well, the Iowa thing is interesting. You know, obviously to match the emotion of the Ohio State game would have been difficult, especially the way the game started with a pick six. So I think that had something to do with it. The field position, the game after, who they play right after Ohio State?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. The field position in the Wisconsin game, I thought stopped Brian Ferentz from being more balanced on first down. You know, it's easy to say you want to be balanced run pass on first down until your average field position is inside your own 20.
Yeah.
And then I just think it's snowballed against Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's the fifth best team in the country. That has a lot to do with it as well. The loss to Purdue, you know, much different. That's the one that's, I think, much harder to explain. And I personally don't have the answer.
You know, I have a theory, but it's just me. I mean, what do I know? But, you know, you lose, you beat Ohio State, you get up, you play your rival in Wisconsin, and you kind of controlled your own destiny at that point, and then they kind of put you out because Wisconsin's just phenomenal this year. I think from back to the emotion topic, I think they were not up for Purdue, and that's not a discredit to Purdue, but I think at that point in the year, that was your letdown game, and it showed last week.
Well, you know, it was senior day, so I mean that you know, that should have played in the
should have helped you. Yeah,
it should have helped Iowa. And the other thing, Chris, I got to tell you, you watch Purdue on defense.
Yes.
And if you're an offensive player, you know you have your hands full. And that's really where Iowa was less than average. And so I still think it's a mystery because emotion was to be had because of senior day. When you're flat for a team, it usually means they don't look any good on tape. And I got to tell you, Purdue looks really good on tape, especially on defense.
No, they're D-line, man. Wow. That Purdue's been a nice surprise for the Big Ten this year. When it comes to Nebraska, what type of emotion do you anticipate kind of be, you know, the kind of, do you rally around Coach Riley for this game today? You have the senior group that's been through a lot in their tenure at Nebraska. I mean, there's so many reasons to get up for it. Also, the pride factor, and Nebraska showed some pride in that second half against Penn State.
You know, you would think that Nebraska would show up, obviously, playing at home, you know, everything that's going on with Coach Riley. The one thing that bothers me a little bit, Chris, I just finished actually a little while ago watching the Penn State game. And I say this often, you know, sometimes when things are tough, you'd rather be away than home. And, you know, because you only have your core group of guys. Everyone that's on a travel squad could play. You're not getting your home fans booing, or not booing, but dissatisfaction
right. And
all that. So as long as the players don't resent the way everyone thinks the season should have unfolded, I think we should expect an emotional effort today. I'm just hoping that being at home is a help and not a hindrance.
No, you're right on, Coach. I mean, sometimes it is better to kind of be out there on your own, on the road. It's just us in this group, and you can kind of speak to that. I mean, that us against the world mentality, that card you can play from time to time can be helpful, right?
Right. There's nothing more demoralizing than your own fans getting on you. And not that they don't have that right. They paid their ticket. I get it. I mean, it's an emotional game, not only for the players, for the fans. I'm just talking about the reality of it. Right? I mean, when I was at LSU, I mean, Tiger Stadium could be the biggest boost of energy in the world. But I got to tell you, when we weren't playing well, they sucked the energy out of you sometimes. And but again, fans have the right to do that. That's their job. But that doesn't mean that it can be diminished, and that doesn't mean that it doesn't have something to do with the outcome of the game.
Well, that's been a talking point this week as well, as you know, what's today going to be like with the fans? How much black and yellow is going to invade? And I expect the Nebraska fans to kind of show up, show out, and be loud for Coach Riley. Let's talk about Mike, and you know Coach really well. You've spent time with him. You've coached a number of years, as is he. And how do you think he'll approach today? His press conference, he never makes anything about himself. He is so classy. He's so on point. He's a good football coach. The fit just didn't happen here, and it's not gone as expected or demanded, frankly. And how do you think he handles today?
I think what he does today is stay true to his character. It's going to be, let's make this a good experience for the players. Let's do everything we can to send the seniors out the right way. Don't make any of it about him. My guess is, depending on the outcome of today's game, what the emotion could be in the locker room. To me, that's probably the most interesting thing. As you know, Mike's not an outwardly emotional guy. Regardless of today's outcome, I think it's going to be an emotional locker room for Mike Riley today. And, you know, it's just the way it is. He's a veteran guy. He's a pro. He understands this whole deal. He totally understands it, totally gets it. He'll never make it about himself. He'll always make it about the players, and he'll always be positive about the players.
No, and he was asked that this week about why he's positive. In your time with him, have you ever known him not to be positive? I mean, he seems just... you can kind of see on his face and maybe some of his body language that there was some wind that went out. Not that he ever quit coaching or stopped trying or stopped playing. And no, he was always there and always there for the kids. But you could just see a little bit different look to him this season at different points in the year, just when things kind of started to snowball. But man, he's all about positivity. And does no matter the circumstance, he stayed that way. That's amazing to me, Coach.
Yeah, there's a sense when we're in this position, when I say we, I mean coaches, that you're disappointed in yourself. You know, I mean, that's where it starts. I mean, I look back at my coaching career. I get so mad at myself when I think about some of the things I could have done better, some of the mistakes I made, and so on and so forth. And so, you know, Mike's probably going through some of that as well. But you can never show that. I mean, I don't know how many. I don't know if I've ever said that out loud until just saying it to you today.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to say that to anybody, you know, because it's not about you. But there's times when he's walking on the sidelines and things are out of hand in State College where I know he's probably saying to himself, I'm disappointed that I didn't do better. That's what you love about Mike Riley. That's why he has so many friends. That's why he has so much respect by everybody, because it's his fault. It's his responsibility. He never points the fingers, and he certainly protects the players until he coaches his last down.
Jerry DiNardo, a couple minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Big Ten Network, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, not sure how things will end. We do expect a change at some point with Coach Riley. And Bill Moos knows Coach Riley for 100 years in the Pac-12. And I don't know if your take here on, does it matter as a coach being able to resign versus being let go?
Well, it certainly matters contractually and financially.
Sure,
unless you come to some agreement where it doesn't matter. But, you know, most contracts are written that you can be fired without cause, which means that they have to pay you. Gary Anderson, evidently at Oregon State, walked away and said, "You don't owe me anything."
Yep.
And so I don't know that there's a difference. My guess is, and this is a total guess, if Mike is coaching his last game today, he'll probably be more visible when a decision is made than most coaches. I think he would probably entertain interviews. He might even be part of the press conference. I just think this probably will be a little bit different. But whether he would resign or take the faith that might be coming to him, that's hard to tell. But other than the contractual issues, there's really not much difference.
Coach, about 30 seconds. Ohio State, Michigan, Nebraska, Iowa. Who are the winners?
Well, I think Iowa beats Nebraska. I just think that they have the better team right now. And for that reason, you have two good coaches. And I just think Iowa's more talented. I think Stanley's a hot quarterback at times. If he gets hot today, he wins the game. Ohio State, Michigan. You know, I think Ohio State wins that game. If I'm Michigan, Don Brown's entire defense is to force JT to win the game and see if JT could win the game. If I'm Ohio State, I make sure that the game is not in the hands of JT, and by that I mean get a running game, be a little bit more balanced. And if I'm Ohio State's defense, I'm going to put everybody possible in that box in all these tight formations that Michigan runs and make whoever plays quarterback try to beat me. So I think both of this comes down, Chris, in Ann Arbor, is both defenses make each other's quarterbacks win the game, and let's see who can win it.
Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, take care. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Chris.
Coach DiNardo joining us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Thanks to him. Little hiccup early on, but we're down here at Miller Time Pub inside the Cornhusker Marriott Hotel. We invite you down, and I was wishing everyone a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. Hope that was the case for you as you're a kid. And I remember this being to my grandparents. You have younger cousins, right? And remember those old school console TVs? Well, some of us played with the tint in the U and the color on the picture of the old Zenith Grandma Schmidt had in the living room. And you could really make things messy there for that Oklahoma-Nebraska game to kick off. The red wasn't red. The crimson wasn't crimson until eventually they set it back. Well, when it comes to the color and tint right now, a lot of black and yellow here down at the Cornhusker Marriott, but plenty of red coming in as well. So it'll even out the temperature, the color getting adjusted here. We invite you down here, Cornhusker Marriott, Miller Time Pub. We've done Road Football Friday shows all season long, and Home Football Friday has been our place here at Miller Time Pub. So we invite you down here. Food and drink specials. Happy to be down here. Hoping you had a great Thanksgiving, and we are excited to be here. So food and drink specials you want to check out. If you had too much turkey, I don't blame you at all. Same here. So maybe grab a salad, maybe grab something refreshing, cup of coffee, and get ready for Nebraska-Iowa. Here's the game plan coming up about 10 minutes from now. We'll catch up with owner, publisher of Hail Varsity, Aaron Babcock. Aaron has worked in media for so many years, does an amazing job with Hail Varsity. Get his take on today's feel for Coach Riley for this Nebraska football team as Iowa comes in trying to really kind of undo the tailspin they've been a part of. They are at 6-5. We'll get caught up with Klausburn and what he is thankful for. That'll be a treat. Also in hour two, Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, will be with us at 11. Our conversation with DeMornay Pearson L coming up at 11:30. Or make that 11:15. And then the Friday forecast, myself, Brandon Vogel, and Greg Smith, picks to live by, right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge for the weekend. So many great games of college football and a great precursor to championship Saturday with so many of the conference title games. Interesting and eerie thing, you have Central Florida kicking off today at 2:30 on ABC. Nebraska going to work on FS1 at 3. So let's talk about today's game for a little bit. On field and some of the backdrop and storylines off field. One, when you look at some of the intangibles here about this football game, who wants to be here? You're a competitor if you're a Nebraska football player. Your competitors as coach and position coach and coordinators. And it has been a really tough last 4 to 6 weeks for Nebraska football. It's been a really, really tough last 2 weeks for Iowa, as you take the college football world by storm by beating Ohio State by 31 points. And then what happens? You get snuffed out by Wisconsin in the fourth quarter. You don't score an offensive touchdown against Wisconsin. And then you have a really embarrassing home loss to Purdue, where you were the definition and appearance of flat. You give me 24-15 at home at Kinnick just 2 weeks prior. We take down Urban and Company. So Nebraska, you know what, it's about pride. Nebraska, it's about energy. And you heard Coach Riley's comments going into this show today about what you play for. And can you rally one more time for this staff? Can you rally one more time for the head coach? Can you rally a few more times for those seniors? And think about seniors here on today. And I think the stadium's going to be full. It's going to be an incredible weather day here at Memorial Stadium here in Lincoln, with the temperatures being in the mid-60s. It's going to be a gorgeous day for football. Not your typical day after Thanksgiving. You need 7 pairs of socks, long johns, battery-operated socks, a parka, a pullover, a stocking cap, all that stuff. No, you'll be able to wear a vest and a short sleeve or a long sleeve and be all good. So you have a different element weather-wise, but can this team in Nebraska come out with energy, and can these seniors lead one more time? I'm thinking of Chris Weber. I'm thinking of Joshua Kalu. I'm thinking of DeMordé Pearson Ellen. We'll have a chat with him in about a little less than an hour. I'm thinking of Marcus Newby. This senior class has been through so much, and you go back to 3 years ago, the overtime win in Iowa City, your coach dismissed 2 days later. You have Mike Riley, you have a whole new regime come in, and then you've had the ups and downs of the last 3 years, where a year ago, this day, Nebraska is still working on a 10-win football season. What's the reality right now? They're trying to avoid a 4-loss season for the first time since 1961. 1. Can join us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio at Hail Varsity. Can tweet us at ESPN 1480, as well as email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com. Thoughts on today? Are you geeked up? How are you going to send Nebraska 2017 out as a fan? And conversely, how will this senior group rally, come together, and what type of performance are you going to get? Because that's really been the issue, hasn't it? It's been consistency. It's been passion of play at times, the look anyway, and you have two teams limping in. A quick timeout. We're here at Miller Time Pub inside the legendary Cornhusker Marriott Hotel here till noon, and the first part of kind of your double shot pregame extravaganza on Black Friday here with ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480 AM. Chris Schmidt down here at Miller Time Pub inside the Cornhusker Marriott. Nick and Hooksy from Nebraska coming up around 12:30. A quick timeout. We'll run down Aaron Babcock next of Hail Varsity. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back here, Miller Time Pub, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Black Friday, hope you're doing all right. Nebraska, Iowa, set to go at 3. And we'll get caught up with the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, shortly, 11 o'clock. Our conversation with DeMorte Pearsonell on the way. We'll try and run Aaron Babcock back down at some point as well. But let's welcome in Klausburn, and we're hoping Klausburn has had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Klausburn, how are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. We did have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Of course, had the whole family over, and Nancy and the girls whipped up a wonderful feast. The only hiccup was my definition of smoking a turkey is entirely different than Carl's. So once we got through that, things were pretty good. Was yours okay?
You know, it was fine. We also smoked a turkey, had a house full. It was wonderful. Watched a lot of football, not a lot of college on. I know you had Mississippi State on last night. But, you know, I'm more of a college football guy, Claus, and excited for the Apple Cup, excited for Black Friday with Nebraska and Iowa, excited for Central Florida, South Florida.
Well, that should be a pretty good game, and I think we should certainly be thankful that we have a lot of college football on today. As you mentioned, we only had really one game yesterday, and if you were watching when Mississippi State's quarterback got hurt, you might have lost everything that you had eaten prior to that, so hopefully we have a little better day and the kids escape without any serious problems.
Klausburn, when you think back to this football season and this time of year, what are you thankful for?
Well, obviously, Chris, it's been a really rough season. But there is a lot to be thankful for. For instance, butterscotch hard candies. You know, without those, I think our coach may have needed to resort to harder Devaney-esque vices to get through the season. You know, every time you see him reaching into his pockets and the sideline there, he's just unwrapping another Werther's and getting ready for the next series. So I admire that about him. There's plenty of other things to be thankful for as well. Of course, you got to be thankful for Bob Diaco. I know what you're thinking. How can you possibly be thankful for what's gone there? But I'll tell you what, listening to him talk is a safer and legal way to experience an acid trip. So you got that going for you.
Klausburn is with us here as he's going through his list. I interrupted you there, Klausburn, my fault. But you have more things you're thankful for. All right.
Well, I got a couple more, obviously. I got to be thankful for Husker message board posters. You know, I'm getting up there in age, and sometimes I'll walk around the house carrying my phone, frantically searching for my phone. So I need people to feel smarter then, and they provide that avenue for me. It's really great. Also thankful for the marching red experience. You know, Christopher, in a 4 or 5 win type of season, they truly are the pride of all Nebraska.
Are you thankful for just the football fans that and we've seen a lot down here at the Cornhusker Marriott inside Miller Time Pub here. Have you seen a lot of Iowa fans in your time? I think you have. There's a few times you've traveled out to Kinnick. There's other times where they've come here. But anything to be thankful for when it comes to Iowa fans?
Well, I'm thankful that Iowa fans in general choose to live in Iowa, and therefore we don't have to deal with them but once a year. So you stay on your side of the Missouri River, and we'll stay on ours, and once a year we'll meet. And that's really all we need, just like some certain family members at Thanksgiving.
Claus, a thought here before we say goodbye. What do you think Chip Kelly's thankful for this time of year?
Well, I certainly think Chip Kelly has got to be thankful that the University of Florida has no concept of the value of a single dollar. So they'll just offer whatever amount they can, and he can use that to get a better contract at UCLA.
Really? I think he'll end up at Florida.
Well, I've been wrong once before, so we'll see how that goes. But really quickly, Christopher, I want to say that I'm very thankful for Hail Varsity. I'm very thankful for 1480 for putting the show on and out in Kearney as well. And thankful for you to continue having me on here. And also thankful for John Cook. Because John Cook is, like me, a legend who followed a legend. And usually a legend who follows a legend goes on to a lucrative career picking games on Fridays with Chris Schmidt. But he hasn't taken Brandon Vogel's job just yet. So I'm thankful for that. And thankful that we have one more game to cheer on the boys this year.
I love it. Klausburn, you take care. Have a great rest of your holiday weekend. Thanks for a few minutes.
Okay.
There he is, Klausburn, with what he is thankful for. This football season, this 2017, we'll try and get reconnected with Aaron Babcock here before we are done. Noon is when we're out the door here. Miller Time Pub is where we're at inside the Cornhusker Marriott. Roadshow Friday with Hail Varsity Radio. And there was Klausburn. And if you miss any part of the program, you can log on hailvarsity.com. Also, the ESPN Lincoln app has the podcast that'll be up, and don't forget iTunes. So we've gotten into a little bit of just kind of reflecting on Mike Riley, on his time at Nebraska, the seniors that are here, and we haven't kind of gotten into full, you know, breakdown mode of the game yet. There's so much swirling around, so much peripheral stuff that you're not maybe 1,000% locked in. Oh yeah, there is kickoff at 3. And eventually it'll shift that way. I think the energy will be good. I think the weather will help that. I think Nebraska fans are excited for their opportunity to show up, be loud, and support not only the seniors, but the kids on the field and this staff that you're wanting and wishing and hoping it would have turned out differently for Nebraska. Let's spend a few minutes here on Tanner Lee, and he's been a topic of discussion. Tanner has been not just the hype with Tanner before the season got going, but the ups and downs Tanner Lee has faced as Nebraska's quarterback, and then the groove he kind of found, the performance he has put together, and really kind of how stand-up Tanner Lee has been for Nebraska football, with a lot of duress, not the best offensive line protecting him, an absent run game. You saw him continue to kind of grind it out and fight it out against Penn State last weekend in that weather. And the topics come up, and Mike Riley has not had a discussion or sit down with Tanner Lee on the NFL, on his future. He's a transfer. I don't know that from a graduation standpoint, Lee will be able to get enough credits knocked out to be a grad transfer again and be on to a third program for his granted sixth year of eligibility. So what it comes down to right now is one final time for him to showcase against a secondary and against an Iowa defense that is good at well, not making mistakes, good at protecting themselves, occasionally good at getting after the quarterback, but they're really talented at causing some confusion with secondaries, or I should say with quarterbacks, and they have the ability to rise up and be a real headache when it comes to run stoppage and their ability to, well, slow down what you want to do offensively. So you look at Lee, and Lee was able to come in last Saturday with just 2 days of practice with concussion protocol and was just phenomenal. 7-19, 72 yards, not phenomenal in the first half. That second quarter was so, so rough. But Lee was so good as he was able to throw for almost 400 yards, 19 of 22 for 327 in all three scores in that second half, 10 yards per play. So that's what you've seen a glimpse of. That's what you were hoping for if you're a Nebraska fan for all of 2017, but it wasn't to be. So you look at Lee and how will he go out? It's not necessarily senior day for him, but in all likelihood, it really could be. So this could be your last glimpse at Tanner Lee. It could be your last glimpse at Stanley Morgan Jr. Will Morgan think about heading off to the NFL as a junior? And both guys have shown flashes. They've shown dominance. They've also shown inconsistency. If I were to kind of project out there, is Tanner Lee an NFL quarterback? Well, he has an NFL arm. Time will tell if he's an NFL quarterback, but he's got the arm, he's got poise, and some of the times he's made throws under duress in tight situations or windows, he has been incredible. He has been as good a quarterback as you can see at times, and then there's been other instances where the mobility has hurt him getting out of trouble, but he's been there for his teammates. He's been there to stand up and be counted as he's kept fighting. I think Lee will have a good game. In all honesty, Lee will have to have a really good game for Nebraska to win. We'll get our forecast picks in about an hour or so. But if Lee's around that 300-yard number, if that completion percentage number is around 60%, Nebraska will win today. If Nebraska is able to get a little bit better of a run game going, I think that's advantageous. That's also obvious. It's not always been the case, but have enough of a threat of one to help Lee against this Iowa defense. And can Nebraska and Lee kind of do something they haven't done all year, and that's be good in the red zone? Obviously, turnovers is how Iowa snuffs you out, so Nebraska will have to have a turnover-free day today to have a win against this Hawkeye defense, this Hawkeye team. Want to remind you about Madonna Proactive. Get your health, your fitness, and your wellness goals achieved. Madonna Proactive can help. Conveniently located 56th and Pine Lake, Madonna Proactive offering individualized personal training, beginner and advanced classes, along with a variety of fitness equipment, plus three pools. I'm a big pool guy. And Lincoln's only aqua track. Whether you're new to fitness or you want to get back into shape, please join Madonna Proactive right now. Schedule an appointment. Take that tour. You'll fall in love. 402-420-0000. And when you sign up with Madonna Proactive for an annual commitment, you'll pay nothing till January. I know we're getting closer to December, but that's still free gym time for you the quicker you sign up. It's a great special, the best special of the year with Madonna Proactive. And when you do sign up, you'll get a free consultation with a personal trainer, registered dietitian, and wellness coach, a $175 value for new members. So think about that. Child care available. Schedule your tour today, 56th and Pine Lake, with Madonna Proactive, madonnaproactive.org. You can dial up 402-420-0000. A quick timeout. We'll step away. We'll get a Sports Center update, and then we'll get caught up with the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, NBC Sports. Bill Dolman, his thoughts on Nebraska, Iowa. When we come back, a Roadshow Friday, Black Friday, Miller Time Pub here with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
A few minutes here, Hail Varsity Radio. DeMorne Pearson Hill back with us. DeMorne, what is this, our fourth, fifth time through your career? It's been fun covering you. How you been? How's this week gonna go for you?
It's rough. It's emotional. I think it kind of hit me today a little bit, starting it too. But you know what? It's closing to a wonderful chapter. I love this university. I love this state. I love these fans. And they've been supportive. And, I mean, that's all you can really ask for. And, I miss this place.
Does it seem like it's coming to an end? You blink. I mean, last time, it seems like, I don't know, a week ago we're talking about the game.
It did go in a flash, you know. A lot of coaches talk about it. It'll go quick, and you kind of get to game eight, and it's just like, where did things go? But it's just you have fun while it lasts.
What does the senior DeMorne want to say to the freshman DeMorne, if he could?
No matter what, stay hungry. Don't let anybody discourage you. Believe in your ability, no matter what, no matter the odds against you. Stay true to yourself and prove everybody wrong.
A few minutes here, DeMorne Pearson with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Got a story to tell you, and I know this is your interview. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting at the old living room. Mm-hmm. It's me and my boy, and you you make that game-tying punt return against Iowa. Uh-huh. And in the end zone, there's some chipping going on. Uh-huh. So the following Sunday, we're at church, and offering plate comes by, and mm-hmm. Hey, I'm gonna do the DeMorne, Dad. He starts chipping off offering dollars into the plate. I'm not making this up. What's your reaction to that?
He's
eight, so.
That's just, people always are watching you, and you always have an influence, so, I guess it's a positive one. So it's funny to me, but, that's crazy, though. That's hilarious.
Well, let's go back to your skill set, how important you've been to this offense, and jet sweep over the middle, jump balls in the end zone, punt return game. What area do you think you've grown most in to this point in your career? Is there something that's always been, for lack of a better word, easy? And what have you had to work on to get elite at?
What I had to work at, just coming back from that injury, just kind of actually like believing in, kind of like I'm that same person. You kind of fall and people fall off and people change up and everything like that. And just coming back, what I've grew in, I would say probably tough grabs and just kind of reading what's given and not trying to go too much and just going with the flow, just getting the flow and being consistent, being more consistent, more reliable. I said that's probably what I've grown in, and the things that's always been the same. I mean, the punt returning, I guess you can say that. And I just when it all matters, just being the one that comes through. If it's a tough third down, if it's a tough couple yards, if it's a key block, just doing my job. And that, I guess you can say, that's what I've normally typically do.
Do you have a favorite punt return?
A favorite one. It's between the Michigan State and the Iowa one. You can't go wrong with either one. I don't know, because I mean, if we go back and you win that Michigan State, then that's the only thing that's really different than the Iowa one for the most part. So I don't really know. And then that Oregon one isn't too far behind. I could have scored right then and there, but the burners just didn't kick in. So I don't know. It's one of them three. It's one of them three. I don't know. I can't choose between those three, but it's one of them.
Your thoughts on how Tanner finished against Penn State? 12-point loss, but you guys caught fire. And also to that, a thought on how things kind of stalled in that second quarter.
Tanner. He'll he'll gather himself and come back, and he's going to give it everything you have. And that's all you can really ask for in a dude that you're going to battle with. It's just somebody who's going to give it his all. And hit after hit, play after play, he got up and still came out throwing. He went out guns blazing, and that's all you can ask for. And, you know, it was on us. And I think we came together as a whole on the offensive side just to get things done. And it started too late. It was little stuff throughout the beginning of the game. That second half adjustments made to, we kind of settled in. It was just like, okay, and we started playing our game, but it was quarters too late.
A few minutes here, DeMorne Pearson out with us, Hail Varsity Radio. DeMorne, thought on this Iowa game. What's that Hawkeye-Nebraska showdown mean to you?
One more last ride, you know. It's going to be a bruiser. It's always a game between us. You look forward to it. It's a fun game. You respect that university. You respect those players. But I mean, you know, it's you're out there playing for more, and you're playing for the people to the left and to the right of you. One more last time at Memorial Stadium. One last time putting the end on. So you know, you got to go out with a bang.
How are you and the seniors gonna get through it? Have you thought about one last time? I mean, are you trying not to?
It comes and goes. I really try not to, because it's you know.
Does it make you sad?
Sad that it's ending. Yeah. Sad that how everything's turned out. Sad that, you know, it's just over the past 4 years you've been in this wonderful place, and it's just. Like, you did your time, and it's just time to move on. And it's just, you don't know exactly what's next. And you're just still putting pieces together. And it's just, you know, it's the growing up part now. And that's the hard part of saying goodbye to a place that has been a strong foundation of making who you are, not even on the field, just off the field, and the relations that you build and everything like that. So, I mean, that's really the hardest part, is just knowing that my time here is done.
How's Nebraska shaped you?
It made me a better person. Definitely coming to the Midwest, seeing how nice people are, made me a better me. Coming from the East Coast, you experience different things, different culture out here. You make relationships that'll last you a lifetime. And you really find out who you are. And Nebraska has shaped me to be the person I am here today. And I can do nothing but thank the state, thank the football, thank everybody. And Big Red Nation.
Not to get too deep here, but how did it make you better?
You know, just fighting back. You know, our fans are the best ever. Growing up as a person, you come out here with pretty much no family. Nebraska gave me structure. Nebraska gave me a family. Nebraska gave me something to lean upon, being away from home. And, you know, when I was going through something, it was still fans that still sent support. I don't know how many letters I got daily, hoping to get a wish you well letters. I don't know how many classes I've went to. I don't know how many classes have wrote me throughout the whole state. So, I mean, it makes you appreciate the things that you do, you know.
So you had, like, grade school classes, fourth grade language arts teachers like, hey, let's write DeMorne. You've gotten letters like that?
I'll probably get 4 a year, I would say, yeah.
That's pretty powerful.
For a whole class. I think this year I actually got a class from California, actually. Yeah.
a little Calabrasca love?
Yeah, a little bit. So, I mean, that's just you touch a population playing for this university, and, I mean, it really represents something, and that's all you can really do.
What's Mike Riley been like to play for and learn from?
He definitely sharpens your mind and seeing things from an offensive perspective. So he shaped me to be a better weapon. Obviously, his offensive scheme is really nice. So, I mean, thank him for that. And, just to be of a thinking player to plan out situations and everything like that, awareness around on the football field, what to look for, tendencies and stuff like that. So I thank him for that and for bringing in a coach, you know, to develop me a lot better.
And tell me about Dub. I mean, his advice, his relationship with you, and his development.
He's a headache.
Do you mean that lovingly?
Yeah, I do. But that's just the type of person he is. He's going to get it out you regardless. And at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for in a position coach. It's going to be times to where he gets on you and you think it's getting you personally, and it's really not. That's just he's a passionate guy, and that's just him coming out. And he actually sees something in you that you might not see, or he's pushing you to be a better you. So you can't do nothing but thank a person like that for actually taking a chance on you and being on you to push you past your limits and developing your game to new levels. And that's what he's been to the wide receiver room, just not me, period, but anybody who stepped in that room. You've gotten better on and off the field just dealing with life situations through football, and he show you how relatable they actually are.
Does he know how perfectly to button push you?
Yes.
How?
I would say he has his PhD in pushing your buttons, but I mean, he's a coach. He's a coach for a reason. He's supposed to. And I mean, he gets you to play, and at the end of the day, that's all that matters. He gets you you get each day, you get better and better with his coaching, and I truly believe that.
DeMorne Pearsonell, DeMorne, it's been a blast to cover you, man. Thanks for a few.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it live at the Cornhusker Marriott Black Friday edition of Hail Varsity Radio. It's Friday forecast time. We're inside Miller time. Pub, we welcome in Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
How is the turkey?
It's good. It's happy in the refrigerator now. It's about to go in brine here in a couple of hours. So then it'll start being better.
The brine is incredible. Greg, how was that honey-baked ham for Turkey Day?
It was excellent, man. You can't go wrong with that. And as I told you the other day, ham always greater than turkey.
You know what? And I think both is the yes, but ham's incredible. And that has started quite a Twitter war. I love it, though.
Greg, I blame you.
I know Greg's undefeated. That's all I'm saying. Who stays undefeated? It's been quite a run. I'm going to pat myself on the back and have you fact check later. So we'll just roll with that. Friday forecast is brought to you by the Gambler's Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline at 800-522-4700. We heard from Klausburn a little bit ago. Klausburn's always busy around the holidays. We'll just leave it at that. Answering questions and contacting attorneys. Guys, let's jump in to the Friday forecast. And this thing kicks off in a little bit, a half hour, ABC primetime ahead of Nebraska and Iowa, South Florida, Central Florida. Mr. Frost, Charlie Strong, and Central Florida favored by 10. Vogue, start us off here. Is that unbeaten season still a thing here as we head into South Florida, Central Florida?
I think it is. UCF's putting up some really impressive numbers. If you only pay attention to playoff rankings, you may not have noticed yet, although I think that's not a problem in these parts in particular. I'll take the Knights to get the win for sure and also cover 38-24.
See, I think South Florida's offense is incredible. But the thing about Central Florida is their defense may get punched a little bit early in games, and they may give up some plays here and there on the ground. They always adjust, and they are just really good tacklers. Milty has been so good at quarterback, and the athletes that Central Florida has on the outside, those jump balls, those 50-50s, the back shoulders, just as part of their regular playbook, super tough to defend. I like Central Florida and Scott Frost to stay undefeated. 42-35, a close game, but enough offense here for Central Florida to get the win. Greg, what do you say here, South Florida or Central Florida?
You know, I'm going to have to go with South Florida in this one, in the upset on this one, just because I feel like at some point, this Central Florida thing and all of the stuff swirling around Scott Frost has got to catch up to him. I know he's got it. He's been doing a great job of kind of insulating the team and really doing a great job of deflecting all of the questions. But typically how we see this thing goes is that this team in that position ends up stubbing their toe along the way. And I think USF being a big-time rival is a game opponent. I still think there's a lot of points in this game. But give me USF to pull the outright upset, 38-31.
Greg Smith is calling for the upset and calling for an end to swirling and speculation. Is that right?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Well, there we have it. There's one pick for South Florida. How about Ohio State and Michigan? That is tomorrow. Ohio State minus 12. Michigan's been good this year, but not great in year three. Many thought Harbaugh at Ohio State and Michigan would be a 4-5 type top ranking matchup. That isn't the case. Michigan snuffed out and beaten up by Wisconsin last week. Ohio State's kind of found themselves. I'm going to start this off, and I think Ohio State goes on the road and gets the win, and I think they do so because the Ohio State run game and offensive line know how important it is to let JT be more of a compliment and sprinkle in that fantastic arm and weapons he has versus the force of having to throw to win. They've learned the hard way on that this year already. So I think Ohio State finds a way to run the football. Michigan's offense is just a mess. They're down to their 13th quarterback. The O-line and D-line better, but this D-line isn't great enough to stop what Ohio State wants to do. Give me Ohio State 24-21, the win, but the Michigan cover for Saturday. Greg?
You know, this one for me, and this is always a game that I really look forward to. I'm from the Midwest. I grew up watching the game every time this year, so I'm always interested. But I got to go with the favorite in Ohio State in this one. I feel like when Urban Meyer has a chance to still be in the playoff hunt, I think that they're a pretty solid team. And I just think Michigan is too deficient on offense to be able to really hang with them. That defense keeps them in it. Michigan's starting to remind me of these recent Florida teams where the defense is really great, but the offense just can't get out of their own way. I'm going to go Ohio State for the win and the cover, 28-14.
Some authority on that. Vogues, what do you say here, Michigan or Ohio State?
Yeah, here's how's this for the ultimate long play. Jim Harbaugh has taken some barbs this season, a little bit unfairly in my mind. This season has kind of been for Michigan what I thought it would be. But I'm going to go ahead and root for Michigan to lose here so people can keep saying that Harbaugh can't beat any of the top teams in his division, because Michigan's going to be really good next year. So they'll be undervalued in 2018, and we'll take advantage of it then. This one, though, I'll take Ohio State, 31-21, so Michigan gets the cover.
Vogues, you're going to kick us off here for the Iron Bowl. You've been to one of these. Bama at Auburn, Auburn minus, no, check that, Bama minus 4.5. And, you know, I don't think Saban loses. I'll get to my point here in a minute, but how are you feeling heading into this? Does Auburn shock the world and shock Alabama?
I'm feeling really excited to watch it, and I think it'll be pretty good. But Alabama has had sort of a strange trajectory for Alabama. The schedule, just with the way it broke, with Florida State ended up being what they were, hasn't been as quite as strong as you'd normally expect Alabama to have faced. So I feel like people are kind of just forgetting about them a little bit. With Auburn's win over Georgia a couple weeks ago, the Tigers will definitely have the Tide's attention. I'm going to take Saban on the road to get the winning cover, 24-17. And what should be a pretty fun game.
I think it will be. Greg, how are you feeling on this? War Eagle or Roll Tide?
I'm going to have to go Roll Tide. I guess either way you could play Sweet Home Alabama, but we'll do it in the favor of the Tide of this one. I think that Alabama will continue to get a little bit more healthy going into this game. And I think Auburn's bubble starts to burst a little bit, even though they're still in playoff contention if they can win this and then win the SEC championship. But I don't like to go against Saban. I also think that Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in the SEC. I'm going to have the Roll Tide in this one, 21-10.
You know what? I think you nailed it. Jalen Hurts will be the reason Bama wins this thing and doesn't have to sweat as much. And he's a better quarterback on the field on Saturday. Give me Alabama 28, Auburn 17. I think Auburn gets a special teams touchdown. I think Kevin Steele's defense is really good, but Alabama is just a different animal, and watching them not lose their composure in a tough night game at Mississippi State against speed and physicality, and the way Alabama was able to run the zone read with some physicality and Hurts, just give me Alabama. They win, they cover, they stay unbeaten, they head off to the SEC championship game. Apple Cup caught up with the Pirate this week, and he's excited for the game. Washington is hosting. Wazoo is underdogged by 9.5. I'm going to go first here on this one. Listen, Washington's lost, suspended their key linebacker. They've got a couple of starters on offense that will not play. Washington's a good football team, but I just like Washington State's defense. I'm going with my heart on this one versus my head. But I'm going to call for Wazoo and the outright win, the Apple Cup victory. Never forget the time the Pirate described the time he showed up on camera after his first Apple Cup win with a blonde under one arm and a brunette under the other. And he told me that's what you get when you come to the Palouse. So give me the Cougars 27-21 to win the cover at a Pac-12 North title for them Washington State Cougars. Vogues, am I too jaded here, or do you like this assessment?
No, you're not too jaded. You might be too emotional, but I'm with you. I want to live in a world where Washington State wins this game. The Apple Cup probably doesn't get the attention of some other rivalries out there, but it, in terms of fun factor, it certainly always ranks up there for me. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not going to enjoy as much the fact that Washington wins this one 27-17.
There is Vogues to pop the bubble. Greg, do you finish me off here with the elbow?
Yep, I'm going to give you the people's elbow right over the edge here. I totally agree with Brandon, though. This one should get a little more attention, this rivalry game. I do always look forward to this one. And Washington's such a difficult team to figure out, but at the same time, so is Washington State. They're a little Jekyll and Hyde as well. Because of all of that Jekyll and Hyde-ness going on in this game, I'm going to go Washington to win 34-31.
Okay, so everyone's tight with the 9.5. I'm the only one calling for the outright. That's fine. Guys, let's move along to Iowa at Nebraska. The Hawkeyes minus 4.5. It's been as low as 2.5. So let's just settle on minus 3. That good? We okay with finish settling on minus 3 there? Listen, I think Nebraska wins this. I think they play one more for Mike Riley. I think they play for a senior class. I am tapping deep into the emotional pool on this one for Nebraska to get it done. And speaking of emotions, Iowa has been a wreck emotionally since beating Ohio State. It'd be totally Iowa for them to bounce back and stomp Nebraska. But I think Nebraska figures out a way. I think Tanner has a good game. I think Stan the Man has an incredible, perhaps fare thee well himself against Iowa, even though their secondary is good. And the defense plays with some passion and some confidence. Huskers 24-17 over Iowa. Vogues?
Yeah, I mean, in a normal scenario, I think Iowa's probably about 10 points better than Nebraska, even at Memorial Stadium. But given everything that's swirling around this one, you know, Nebraska hasn't been able to run the ball anyway, so it's not like Iowa's tough run defense is going to change things much. So let's get weird. Let's throw it around the yard, try to get Stan that record, see if JD can get up there pretty close to you, and just have some fun. I think Nebraska will come out and give a pretty good effort. I will take the Huskers 31-30.
Look at that. 31-30 says Vogues. Go Big Red. Greg, what happens here? Iowa or Nebraska?
Boy, I wish I could roll with you guys on this one. I do like that. I do like the idea of let's
first ham over turkey, and now
I just can't see it, and it's primarily because of that running situation. Like, I don't like the idea of going into this type of a game thinking that Nebraska is going to throw it all around the yard, because that means Iowa can then tee off on the pass rush against an offensive line that has been leaky all season long. So I gotta, and I think it'll be a little bit more low scoring than maybe we're thinking to. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to say Mike Riley potentially goes out on a loss, 21-17 Iowa.
There you have it, the Friday forecast presented by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call a statewide helpline at 800-522-4700. Gents, we will talk to you soon. And as always, for Husker coverage, keep it with HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Guys, have a good one. Vokes, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Greg, be good, bud.
Have a good one, man.